Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. We're broadcasting this week from the Lonely Hearts Club here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, this sort of is the Lonely Hearts Club. A friend of both Carla and Louie named Sharon Walsh sent us these personal ads from an Irish newspaper. These are real things, we think. I'll just read you a few. Grossly overweight Louth turf cutter, 42 years old and 23 stone. What's that, 500 pounds? Gemini seeks nimble lady, preferably South American, for tango sessions, candlelit dinners, and human nights of screaming passion. Must have own car and be willing to travel. Box 0908. Following a sad recent loss, teetotal Tipperary man, 53, seeks replacement nanny. Must like biscuits and answer to the name Minnie. pretty specific. heavy drinker, 35, Cork area, seeks gorgeous woman interested in pints, Glasgow Celtic Football Club, and starting scraps on Patrick Street at 3 in the morning. Box 73. Devil worshipper. Devil worshipper, O'Fally area, seeks like-minded lady for wining and dining, good conversation, dancing, romantic walks, and slaughtering cats in cemeteries at midnight. This is good. Limerick man, 27, medium build, brown hair, blue eyes, seeks alibi for the night of February 27th between 8 and 11 p.m. This is good.
Those are beauties.
Seeks alibi. Why not? You could advertise.
Well, I think they're wonderful. Unlike the answers you're about to get to your questions in a few minutes. But if you can't do without a wrong answer, the number to call is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi there.
Hi, who's this?
This is Farrah.
Farrah?
Mm-hmm.
As in Farrah Fawcett?
It's not spelled that way, but you're really good on the pronunciation.
Close enough. Okay.
And where are you from?
I'm from Arlington, Virginia.
Okay, what's up, Farrah?
What's up is my 72 VW Squareback.
Jeez. I thought we'd heard the last of these about 8 years ago. A 72?
Like just like a bad penny.
Ooh.
It breathes.
It
yeah,
does,
it's
huh?
It's like a wart. You know, just when you think you've gotten rid of it, it comes back.
You say that? It's the greatest car in the world.
It is like hell.
It is, because the engine's in the back, so you get all that. So you get a station wagon plus trunk room in the front.
Yeah. All right, well.
Well, I mean.
It's all right. We can see that you've been deprived of driving a real car for so long that you've lost your perspective.
No, I mean, you are right that in terms of the use of space, it was a rather interesting configuration.
Right, because it cleverly concealed the fact that there was an engine, especially on hills.
Right, you had a trunk in the back, a trunk in the front, no engine anywhere.
Yeah.
But the engine that you did have was a complete piece of junk.
No, the engine wasn't bad. The rest of the car
was.
But
things attached
but
to it.
Go ahead. Let us not discourage your enthusiasm
yeah,
here.
Why should we editorialize like this?
Yeah.
Farrah was
Who
nice
cares
enough
what
to
we
call
think?
Us. That doesn't matter what we think.
What do you think?
Well, what I think is it's a wonderful car. I grew up in Squarebacks. But the reason I'm calling you is because although it lives and breathes, right now it breathes hot air permanently. I've got permaheat.
Permaheat?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, we've had this problem with Volkswagens since the beginning of time. What's happened, finally, is that your heater cables have seized, or the flaps in the heater boxes have seized in the open position. So even, you know, I could never, all the years I worked in those cars, I could never figure out how that stuff ever worked, the levers. Because you'd get in the car, you'd start it up, you'd move the lever in one direction, no heat. Move the other direction,
still no
heat.
You had to sort of grow up
well,
with a Volkswagen.
You know what it was? It was what do they call that? There's a
entropy.
There's a term. You had to imagine there was heat.
Ah, like my wife's cooking.
Exactly.
Abstract cooking.
Abstract heat.
Heat. You put the, if as long as you put those little levers in the right position, you would just feel warm.
Right. As soon as you put that lever in the right position, you could unzip your coat, take the gloves off, strip down to like 4 or 5 pairs of long underwear. So now you have heat all the time, and you'd like to put an end to this.
Well, I would. And the
reason,
one of the problems with having heat all the time in a VW Squareback is that because the engine is somewhere unlocatable, I'm not sure where to look for the heat box, and can I do something with the flaps myself?
Well, the heat, the heater boxes are on either side of the engine. They flank the engine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so needless to say, you'd have to get underneath the car,
yep.
And you would see the heater boxes, and then you would see, running from each heater box toward the front of the car, you'd see a corrugated tube several inches in diameter, maybe 3, 4, 5 inches in diameter, relatively big. Like they needed that to carry the ridiculously small amount of heat that was being generated.
Mass amounts of heat.
Right, they could have done this with a couple of soda straws. But they did it in any event.
And between these tubes and the box, there's a little door. And when you open the door, you get heat. And when you close the door, you don't.
Well, when you open the door, you're supposed to get heat. The simplest solution, now we used to wire the heated boxes open in the winter and close them. Just take the two tubes out.
Mm-hmm.
They come right out. They're like concertinas, so you can just push it, it'll come out from one end and yank it out, and take the two tubes and put them in the house. And when the weather turns cold and ugly, stick them back in again.
Oh.
And that is the easiest way to turn the heat off.
Yeah.
Because if you try to free up the doors, mm-hmm. it'll take a case of WD-40, and it still won't work.
Yeah, the cables are probably seized at this point.
Right.
Okay.
You should just cut all that stuff off while you're under there.
No,
don't do that.
Thanks for your call, Farrah.
Thanks a lot.
All right, bye-bye.
Good luck.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, my name is Pat McCann from North Tonawanda, New York.
Pat, you're on our staff.
I know. And you're a sexual harassment counselor.
That's you, man.
So what's shaking, Pat?
Hey, wanted to catch up with you guys and talk about my 95 Chevy Lumina APV. And I'm notorious for running out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
But lately I've been running out of gas, and it's just not my fault. 3 or 4 times in the last year, typically on a long trip and highway driving, I'll run out of gas, and there's still gas left in the tank.
How do you know that?
When I fill it up, the first time it took 16 gallons, and it's a 20-gallon tank. And the second time, it took about 15 gallons. So I had 5 gallons left.
So okay. How did you conclude that you're out of gas?
Stop running.
Yes. And, you know, you put your foot on the gas pedal and...
But how do you know it didn't stop running because the stars were wrong? I mean, are you why do you blame it on the gas?
Well, being one who has run out of gas before, you get to know that feeling.
Yeah, and once you, as long as, what do? You get towed or you go with a 5-gallon can somewhere and you get gas, you pour in a couple of gallons of gas and it starts right up?
Yes, and then I drive to the gas station, or sometimes actually if I just sit there long enough, after a while it'll start right up and I can chug my way a half a mile or a mile. Now this is a two-part problem. The first part...
So wait a minute, Pat McCann,
what?
So when you accept... that you're not really justifiable in blaming gas as the problem.
So you could be running out of spark.
You could be running out of all kinds of things. You could be running out of steam.
but if you ran out of spark for whatever reason. But when you add gas, it starts. I understand that.
But time always passes. So it may
not
be time that's the
always
problem.
Always passes. Sometimes. I just happen to get lucky, and it does this, you know, a mile from an exit that's got a gas station, and I can almost coast there and put gas in, fill it up, and get back in, and it's running.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can drive it. You can continue to drive for another couple
another
of hundred
couple
miles.
Hours, another few hours.
And it's all right then?
Yes. And it's okay. I mean, the first half a tank, well, the first 5/8 of a tank now,
yeah,
it's good. But
all
when
right,
I get down
right.
to that bottom part.
All right, we give.
You're probably running out of gas there.
Thank you.
Jeez. All right, take it easy on us, will you? Give a guy a break.
And I'm wondering.
Oh, and we're just out of time.
Wait, have you asked anyone to look at this?
I've looked at it.
You've looked at it.
That didn't do much good. I filled the tank up. I looked at the tank. It was still there.
When was the last time, for example, that you changed your fuel filter?
I had a major tune-up 40,000 miles ago.
Well, you could have a clogged fuel filter.
That could be simple.
That's
you could easily have a weak fuel pump. Have you ever noticed if you're driving the truck at any speed, but under quiet conditions with the windows rolled up, for example, that you can hear a humming noise coming from the back of the vehicle that's not coincident even with its moving? In other words, with
very
the engine,
very faint. Like, hey, same tone.
No.
You know, fun. Do you ever drive on unimproved roads?
Yeah.
Well, here's a guess.
Yeah,
and
go
it's
for
only
it.
A guess.
Nice question, man. Nice question.
Good. Yeah. Too bad the answer wasn't good, but the question's good. It's a possibility that you have struck the gas tank with something like a boulder or a tree stump or a raccoon or some such things that has stove it in. Is that the right tense of the verb?
Stoven.
Stoven. Stoven it
in. Pushed in the bottom of the tank.
So that, in fact, when the tank is an eighth full, you're not really getting the gas out because the area where the pickup is has been pushed up because of some impact.
Ooh.
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 So it may be that, in fact, that's happened, and that would explain everything.
And then I just have to learn to live with it and fill up at a half a tank.
Well, you could live with it. But I, at the very least, I would have someone look at the tank to see if this, in fact, is true, and then you can send us the Genius Award.
Yeah.
If it isn't true, then you can choose to live with it. But before you do that, you should change the fuel filter.
Okay.
With 40,000 miles, it might be dirty. And you should ask them to check the fuel pump pressure.
Okay.
Pat, we wish you the very, very best.
Well, listen, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Appreciate your help.
Take care.
Oh, thanks for calling.
Take care. Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hello, who's this?
That was quite a hi.
Hi.
Very throaty.
This
very
is Amy.
Sensual, I might say.
You are Amy?
Yes.
Hi, Amy.
Where are you from,
Hello.
Amy?
I'm calling from Dallas.
Dallas.
Okay.
Yep.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Do we sound ready?
Yeah?
We're ready, then.
Then we're ready.
Okay. All right. I have a 92 Buick Skylark.
Really?
That, if you believe it or not, belonged to my husband's grandmother. And it only has 33,000 miles on it.
We're with you.
Life is great. We inherited it. And we did have a 79 GMC Good Times van with a big eagle on the side that had been painted with house paint and had shag carpet all in the inside. So this is like a beautiful car for
me. Do you live in a trailer park?
No.
Just checking. Not that
no,
there's anything wrong with it.
Slow. We're in the slow class. You know,
okay.
I'm 34. We ought to be a little further ahead than we are, but, you know, we took some bad roads.
I know exactly how it is. Believe me.
Okay, so the problem is, when I put it in park, it lunges forward, and it kind of rocks back and forth in a big way.
Huh? When you put it in park?
Yeah.
Well, do you put it in park when you're doing 20 miles an hour?
What?
Do you come to a stop before you put it in park?
Yes. Oh, yeah. And I put it in park, and I put it in park, and I still have my foot on the brake, right?
Yeah.
You take your foot off the brake.
As slow as I try to take my foot off the brake, it still does this.
Right.
It lurches?
Rock, 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 rock.
Front to back or side to side?
Front to back.
Front to back.
Well, I'm trying to get a complete picture here because it's so ridiculous.
No, it isn't. Amy, I'm with you.
My husband thinks that there's nothing wrong with the car, that all cars do this. My mother says, no, all cars do not do this. I don't recall any other car doing this. I mean, the van, but it weighed 3,000 pounds.
No, the van weighed 6,000 pounds.
Yeah, that shag carpet had at least a ton and a half.
A ton of shag carpeting in it.
And it had marbled mirrors and a sink. And a cooler.
A marbled sink?
I love it. You're my kind of woman, Amy.
Well, look, no, all cars don't do this.
No.
All cars do it. All modern cars do it. All front-wheel drive modern cars do it to some extent.
Yeah.
But there's something broken on your car.
Something is broken?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's broken is the thing called the torque strut. There is actually a thing that looks like a dog bone. If you open the hood, put the prop rod up so it stays open, and stand to the side and have your husband creep up very slowly and do what you do. You step on the brake, put the thing in park, take your foot off the brake, and you will see the motor shift back and forth in the engine compartment.
Okay.
Okay? And when it does that, you will see this dog bone that's right. In fact, some of these cars have actually two of these dog bone-looking things that sit right on top of the where the radiator is, and they extend to the engine. And what's wrong is that the bushing part of it is all worn out. So
he'll see it move.
He'll see the thing move, and he'll say, hey, there's something broken here.
A dog bone thing.
Yeah, it's actually called a torque strut.
Okay.
But if you went to any gas station and said, my dog bone is bad, they'd know exactly what you were talking about.
And they'd say, and the shag carpet ain't in very good shape either.
And if they don't know what the dog bone is, just ask them to let the Rottweiler out of the back, and he'll find the dog bone under the hood.
And is it hurting the car?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's putting stress on the motor mounts.
Okay.
And it will eventually break one of them.
Oh, no.
So you should replace it. It's a real cheap fix.
And then
the car will be perfect.
I know.
And then you'll be inspired to shag carpet the car. See ya, Amy.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, although you should be savoring every moment of the beginning of the end of summer. Boy, that's a lugubrious thought, isn't it?
It is.
You are instead listening
it's
to
sad
us.
Sad, too.
Click and Clack, known at the Leaf and Bean as the Tipperillo Brothers. We'll have more of your calls in the second half of Car Talk, so don't touch that dial, because if you do, the business end of your dipstick may fall off. We'll be back in a minute.
Holding it down with a painted wire. Supper's cooking on the highway. Wrapping the keel up in a loony. 15 miles on the manifold, and it's done.
And even though Facebook automatically asks our friends, are you sure you still want to do this? Whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
Support for NPR and the following message come from BetterHelp, offering online counseling. BetterHelp therapist Hesu Jo knows that lockdown has been hard on us as humans.
We as people are hardwired to connect with others, which is why this whole time is so difficult. The connection that happens between people can be very powerful, and how healing it can be to have a healthy relationship with someone.
To get matched with a counselor within 48 hours and save 10%, go to betterhelp.com/cartalk.
NPR's Planet Money Summer School is now in session. Everything you want to know about investing from expert guest professors. New classes every Wednesday till Labor Day in the Planet Money podcast feed.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk, of course, about cars, car repair, and the power of the dart.
Yeah. Here's a note from Carol Jenny from Denver, Colorado.
I mean, I can't wait because I don't know what this power of the dart is. Sufficiently cryptic to have aroused my curiosity.
This is good. Dear Tom and Ray, I've been listening to your pleas for good mail, and I thought I would share with you a true story involving both a Dodge Dart and your Fair City. In the early 60s, I was a sweet young farm girl attending a mundane Midwestern university. I went to summer school at a very snooty, presumptuous old university in your Fair City.
Uh-huh.
What, pray tell, could she be talking about? I wanted to be a biologist, and my school didn't teach about DNA and all that stuff. We were still
working on animal husbandry.
We were still into throwing nets into the ponds and saying bag it and tag it. That's good. I went to a, she doesn't want to divulge the name of the school, so she's, I went to a blank cliff mixer. And met a handsome young man from an Ivy League school. Ooh. He asked me to go to a movie with him the next night.
That's the first step.
He picked me up for the date in a strange-looking automobile. Being a gentleman, he opened the passenger side door and I climbed in. As I sat waiting for him to walk around the car and get in, I thought, I must make charming, brilliant conversation. What the hell am I going to say? I noticed that this strange car had lots of wood paneling on the dashboard, on the doors, on the glove box. I remembered that once my aunt had had an old woody Dodge station wagon that was covered with wood. Being an upwardly mobile farm girl, I was well read. I knew that Dodge had recently introduced a new model car. The handsome young man climbed behind the wheel and started the engine. I said, oh, is this a Dodge Dart? No, he replied, it's a Jaguar. You can make that mistake.
Oh, absolutely. Just the other day, as I was driving your car, I said, Jesus, is this any way to get around?
It's not in the letters. I knew you'd like this. Carol continues, I was mortified. He didn't ask me out on a second date. The story has a happy ending, though. In 1972, I met a man who drove a really crummy old car. We're still driving crummy cars, and we're pretty darn happy. Sincerely, Carol Jenny from Denver.
That is a great story.
Is this a Dodge Whoopee! I make that mistake. In fact, right now I have a Jag in my driveway alongside my car.
And what do you choose to drive?
I get in the morning and I know I got the wrong key. I got the Jag key and I'm trying to stick it in my Dart and it won't work. And I say, see, it's so confusing to have these two cars.
So similar.
So much the same. Okay, I give up.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Eric from Bloomington, Indiana.
How you doing, Eric?
Pretty good.
What's up?
I've got a 1980 Chrysler LeBaron, and yeah, I'm having problems with the horn.
Hmm.
And what happened is that a couple of weeks ago, about 3 o'clock in the morning, the horn just sort of spontaneously went off.
Yeah.
And it just blared for about 20 minutes, and by the time I sort of stumbled out there and got the hood open, it stopped just as I opened the hood.
Mm-hmm.
So took it in. They said they couldn't see it, find anything. A couple of days later, it did it again. Only this time, it wouldn't quit, and I go out there, and I'm fumbling around. I couldn't see anything. And, you know, neighbors' lights are turning on and stuff, you know.
Yeah, you're making a lot of friends.
So I go back in the house, I get a hammer, and I beat on it till I quit.
You beat on what? The windshield?
On the horn.
You beat on the horn. Well, it isn't the horn that's the culprit.
The horn itself.
I just beat on the horn itself.
No, at least you found it.
Yeah.
That's good.
I found the horn, and I just beat on it until it stopped blaring.
Well, now you have two things to fix.
Yeah.
You destroyed the horn so it doesn't work at all anymore.
That's right. It doesn't work at all anymore.
Was this done out of frustration and anger, or were you rather collected?
It was 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it was frustration and anger.
Frustration and anger,
That's
yeah.
all right.
Well, I'll give you a little hint. If this ever happens to you again, you've got to lapse into some kind of a song when the neighbors are out hanging out their windows wondering what's going on. As you're trying to unplug the horn, you got to start singing some song like you arrived home intoxicated, and that way they'll forgive you.
They will.
Probably so.
But what you did was you broke the horn, so now you need to replace the horn and still have to find the problem.
Yeah, well, you may not have broken the horn. It's possible that the hammer...
No, I broke the horn.
Oh, he broke the horn. That's why it doesn't work anymore.
But you might have just knocked the wire off.
No, I broke the horn.
Oh, you smashed the heck out of it. Okay.
Yeah, I can tell. Eric broke the horn.
Yeah, I broke the horn. I went in, I talked to him. I took it to the mechanic, and they said, yeah, you broke the horn. I mean, it's gone.
But they still don't know what's wrong with it. But when you had the thing in there, they didn't have any ideas about what to do?
Well, what they said was that there was a chance that it was like a short in the wire someplace.
Yeah, or it's a chance that it's something else. Did they give you any other?
Well, that was what they said. That was what it was. They said if there's a short in the wire someplace, we'll have to trace the wiring all the way through the, you know, under the dashboard and everything.
Nah.
And it's going to cost 8 hours of labor and $200.
Well, did they consider that there were other possibilities, that it could be something like the horn relay?
Evidently
now,
not.
Now, the horn relay only cost a few dollars.
That's why they didn't consider that.
right. That,
no,
right.
They didn't say that. They didn't. They said it was just. They said it was. It was tracing the whole thing. And they said that that a combination of cold and moisture at a particular. I mean, that's why it was always going off in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Well, Eric, things shrink in the cold.
Everyone knows that.
Everyone knows that, and it's possible that something is shrinking in the horn relay and making the horn blow because the contacts are closing up in the relay.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. And the way the horn works is that the actual electricity, the actual electric current that makes the horn diaphragm vibrate does not go through the steering column because that's too much current for that little tiny switch.
The horn actually takes a fair amount of current. It's hard, I mean, the way a horn blows is you vibrate a little membrane, and that's what makes it... And so it takes a fair amount of current to do that. And whenever there are things that require a lot of current, instead of the current coming up to the dashboard or to the horn, the current goes through a relay, which is like another switch.
Right, so you have two switches. You have the switch that you press on inside the car, the horn button.
Right.
And that closes the bigger switch, which is the relay, so all the heavy current travels through the relay, and eventually that switch will fail, that relay. But that's easier to replace than the one that's in the steering wheel, and that's why it's done that way. Now, if the relay has failed, it's simply a matter of plugging in a new one. And they should have done that.
That's not, like, hard to get to, or?
No, it's up under the dash someplace, I think. I don't know exactly where it is.
Okay.
The way, if you really want to find it, what you do, and it's a good trick for anyone that has a horn relay that they can't find, is unplug the horn. And the reason you unplug the horn will be obvious in a minute. And you press the horn.
And you'll hear a...
You okay? He's choking on something. Do the Heimlich maneuver on this boy. You'll hear the relay go click, 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 click as you press the horn. The reason, of course, you unplug the horn is that if you don't do that, all you hear is...
And you can't hear any click, click, click.
And you won't hear the click, click,
right.
click. So do that. You'll find the relay. Go to the parts store and buy a relay. And, of course, buy a horn now.
I definitely have to get a new horn.
Get a new horn. Plug the new relay in. And with any luck, it'll be solved. However, if it isn't solved, then you'll know that that wasn't it. But all you'll spent is $10.
That's a lot easier than tracing wiring for a short circuit.
That may not exist.
And they should have done that before they even suggested to you that it was 8 hours.
Now, I'll tell you, a lot
of
garages make the mistake of when you come in with a problem that they can't reproduce, they don't look for something. What they tell you is, well, it could be this, this, or this. We have to wait till it does it. Well, if they don't do anything that day you bring it in, especially if there's something that's cheap to do, they'll be no closer to figuring it out than before you brought it in. So
right.
if a $10 relay could solve the problem, why not try that?
Yeah, right.
And then if it doesn't solve it, you'll at least know that that didn't fix it and you can look for something else.
Right.
Whereas if, you know, you have to park this thing in the shop owner's driveway at 3 o'clock in the morning.
So at 3 o'clock in the morning when the horn starts blowing, he'll figure it out right away.
Okay.
All right, and that'll get it fixed in short order.
Yeah, because he'll fix it then.
Yeah, right, at 3 o'clock in his jammies.
Don't leave the hammer in the back seat, though.
Thanks for your call, Eric.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Even people from Bloomington, Indiana get angry and frustrated. I thought they were all easygoing, like
Midwesterners. Well, no, he wasn't angry. It was a very measured blow that did this horn. I don't think it was done out of great frustration.
Eric didn't have the kind of voice that indicated he could ever get very angry. He was an easygoing guy.
He just did it because that was the only way he knew to sever the tie, so to speak.
And he did it.
He did indeed. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hello, who's there?
This is Melissa Peterson from Seattle.
What are the chances of this? Years ago, we had a young lady with the same name. I think she was
and
from
she
Seattle,
was, yeah,
too.
Yeah, she was from Seattle,
who was the
too.
Biggest pain in the neck caller that we've ever had in our entire career on the radio.
She was, like, at the time, 14 years old or something like that. And all she did was castigate us for being stupid, loud, ridiculous, inane, sophomoric.
You know, I think but, I remember her.
Yeah,
she
I'll bet
so
you do.
Right.
How old are you, Melissa Peterson?
I am 19.
19. So that was about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
No!
Is it really you, Melissa?
Yes, it really is.
You little pain in the butt. How are you?
I'm a big pain in the butt now. But
you
I'm
are. You're a real. You're an actual woman now.
Yeah.
You're probably a college student.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go to school?
I'm going to be going to the University of Washington.
Okay, we'll write them a letter and tell them about you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, thank God she's staying out in that post.
Hey, just tell me one thing. Do you still hate us as much as you used to?
My feelings for you have kind of matured a bit, but
no,
you
can't
haven't improved
that.
Any.
They haven't improved, but they've matured.
How about the dog? Does the dog still hate us?
Yes.
I think your original letter stated that your dog hated us even more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was the P.S., right?
P.S., and my dog hates you, too.
We still have the same dog.
You still have the same dog. So what prompted you to call us?
Well, actually, I have a question for you.
No kidding.
Really?
Hmm? So you want to just, like, use us and toss us aside?
Yes. Are you all right with that?
Well,
we admire your candor.
Yeah. You are honest. I will say that for you. You were kind of cute, actually, as a 14-year-old.
Well, thank you.
I found myself hating you less after we met. Because Melissa, didn't we actually pay for her airplane ticket and she came here to...
You did.
Yeah, you came. You were a guest.
Sweet.
You were a live guest in our show.
She was.
You made a comment about every single question we answered. Mostly negative, I believe.
All negative, yeah.
And we had the good grace to take you out to dinner afterwards.
Yeah, you tried to get me to eat calamari.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were hoping to make you sick for the plane ride home. And then I remember that you broke my pipe.
I did not.
You did too.
I stole it. I didn't break it.
Oh, you stole it.
She stole it.
Yes, I had a corn cob pipe.
That you spent a lot of money for.
I spent $1.99 for it, Nini's. And Melissa stole my pipe. Do you still have it?
No.
Okay.
Melissa, I'm honored that you called us.
Well, wait and see what she wants.
Well, what do you want?
See, I got a motor scooter about 2 weeks ago.
What kind?
I got it at a Suzuki dealership.
Oh, so you bought it brand new?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a motor scooter.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my dad, he, like, rode bikes when he was a kid, and he thinks it's the coolest thing ever. And he's like, yeah, you're going to have so much fun on this thing. My mom worked in the ER for a while and saw motorcycle accidents, and she thinks I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering how dangerous they really are. She's right.
Well, you know, this is a tough one. If I loved you, which maybe your mother does, but probably nobody in the world does.
Hey.
Well, you're a mean, rotten little kid. What do you want? Look, here's the deal. Your mother is absolutely right. Man, these things, they are so much fun. I understand. I had one once. They are really a lot of fun, but they really are dangerous. And your mother is absolutely right. Have you driven a car for long?
Yeah.
How long?
About 4 years.
How many accidents have you had in that time?
None.
How many have you caused?
None. I'm a very safe driver, thank
Where
you.
Are you going to use this thing? On the streets of Seattle?
Yeah. It's not fast enough for the freeway.
But you'll be riding on the same streets that are used by trucks and buses.
Yes.
Yeah, gee whiz. I have to... Wait, but you bought it already.
Yeah.
Your mother allowed you to buy it?
Yeah. Well, it's on my dad's credit card.
And now she's telling you that you shouldn't drive it because it's too dangerous?
Well, she's not telling me not to drive it, but she's doing like the mom not saying anything, but you know what she's thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Man, I would hate to see anything happen to you, Melissa. Who could hate us as much as you do and be so honest about it? Oh, no, we get more mail than we need in that area, don't we?
Yeah, we sure do. Yeah, I would say enjoy the motor scooter, Melissa.
No, your mother is really right. They are terribly dangerous, only because you have absolutely no protection. And even if you think you're a good driver, it doesn't really matter that you're a good driver because no one else is.
And they're especially dangerous in inclement weather,
mm-hmm.
which you get a lot of in that neck of the woods.
Don't do it. I really don't want you to do it.
Man.
You can mail it to me, though. FedEx will deliver it.
Yeah. My brother's been looking for a scooter. He'll give you $200 for it.
So if I was your daughter, I wouldn't have one?
Oh, absolutely not. If you were my daughter, and I have a 19-year-old daughter minus 5 years, then she's about the age you were when you first told us how much you hated us.
And interestingly, Anna hates Tommy also.
Just as much as you did.
Oh, more.
Maybe more.
Oh, it's downright vitriolic.
She refers to me as a crazy old man. And that's sort of what you said to us 5 years ago. Don't drive it, really.
Okay.
All right.
And Melissa, I can't tell you what a pleasure it is to hear from you because
it's not.
Yeah,
nor can I.
See you, Melissa.
So long.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
She sounds like a perfectly nice young lady.
Yeah, don't let that fool you.
19 years old.
Yeah. Pretty good, huh?
A little twerp.
Hey, Tommy, according to our latest contract, it's time for us to take another little break.
Hey, that's good. That's a nice little benefit you negotiated for us. Another break. I like it.
It's not a benefit for us. It was demanded by the listeners.
Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment.
When you take the wheel for the first time, you'll experience the fun of going places and doing things.
And you'll discover a whole new world of being on the move.
Driving a car can be an exciting thing. The world hurries by and you feel like a bird on the wing. But the hand that steers better know how to do it. And you could be dead wrong if you should think there is nothing to it.
And even though NPR interns tweak their resumes and move NPR just below babysitting experience whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Culturelle. IBS symptoms can be tough to manage with diet alone. Culturelle IBS Complete Support is a medical food for the dietary management of IBS, designed to relieve the intensity and reduce the frequency of severe digestive symptoms associated with all IBS subtypes. Save 20% on IBS Complete Support with promo code RADIO on Culturelle.com, or for occasional digestive issues, try Culturelle probiotic supplements. We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the used puzzler. Now, as both of our listeners
Pre-owned puzzler.
As both of our listeners know, every summer the puzzler goes on vacation.
Sure. Leave us here to sweat over a hot microphone, why don't you?
Well, but if you're one of those people for whom a week just isn't complete without a Car Talk puzzler, here's what you got to do.
First, seek professional help. Seek professional help.
Or go to cartalk.com where you'll find this week's classic puzzler from the Car Talk archives. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-822-7777-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Susie Blaylock from Muscle Shoals, Alabama.
Susie.
Uh-huh.
Muscle Shoals.
Uh-huh.
Is it Susie with a Z?
It's Z-I.
Yeah,
S-U-Z-I. That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh. Susie. And you're not from California?
No. I'm from the South.
And your name is S-U-Z-I. Uh-huh.
Well, it would be S-U-Z-E-E from California.
No.
And your parents are not from California?
No, S-U-Z.
Leave her alone, will you?
All right, I'm just checking. When I run across an anomaly, I think it's an opportunity to find out something, to learn. And as you know, I'm always trying to learn.
You are a nudge.
So, Susie, ¿qué pasa?
Well, I have a 1990 911 Porsche.
Do you?
A C4, a Carrera 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't have a problem with it. It runs fabulous.
Good, because if you had a problem, we wouldn't have the slightest idea.
See, I don't even know where the engine is in that car.
It's in the back.
I don't think it matters. It's somewhere. They have one.
Under the seat or something, yeah. So what can we help you with, Susie?
Well, the problem is I'm a doctor in a small town.
Yeah.
And this car has really given me a lot to talk about with the other men doctors.
Exactly.
You know, we didn't have a lot in common. So it's a real good icebreaker, but the trouble is they never ask me anything I know about the car. And so I'm kind of like short on the conversation end.
Oh, right. You know, so you have the car, and they say, oh, really, have a turbo? And you say, I don't know.
Well, they never ask me the gas mileage.
Yeah.
What stuff that you do know about.
So you want something to talk about.
Right.
And you called us, huh?
Uh-huh.
Hey, fill us in. Tell us about the car. How many cylinders does it have? Is it front-wheel drive? Rear-wheel drive?
It's four-wheel drive.
four, huh? Which four?
What side's the steering wheel on? The left or the right?
Well, no, this is an interesting...
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, did you buy the car specifically so you could have this link to the boys?
No. I bought it because it runs fast and drives fabulous, and you just feel really good when you're in it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Let's see. I'm trying to think about how to help you. Have you read the owner's manual?
Well, yeah, but, you know... Other than going to, like, all those car magazines and flashcards. Yeah,
that's what you need to do, unfortunately. You need to start subscribing to Road and Track or Car and Driver or one of those magazines.
Yeah. But see, they don't make any sense to me.
Well, that's all right.
They will.
If you figured out all that hip bone connected to the thigh bone stuff, you can figure out this. I mean, this
is... Is that it? Hip bones connected to the thigh bone?
Well, that's all I...
Bones connected to the brain bone?
Yeah, if you figured all that stuff out, you must have figured out most of it,
sure.
Right?
And it's all mechanical stuff, and this is mechanical stuff. You can figure it out.
And you can also join the Porsche Car Club of America.
Yeah, that's an abbreviation.
Yes, I got it.
I was just hoping there'd be some
give us an example of a question that they would ask you.
Well, they ask, like, how many horsepower is it and how fast it'll get to 60 and how fast it'll stop.
Sure, this is all stuff that's pure memorization.
Yeah. Exactly what you need is the reprint from the test that was done in Car and Driver and/or Road and Track when this car first came out, gives you all of that stuff.
See, and these,
and then you can lie about it. In addition, if the thing says it's 0 to 60 in 6.2 seconds, you tell them you do it in 5.
Yeah, you can elaborate on all these numbers.
So I should just say all that stuff regardless whether I know what it means.
Oh, don't forget, they won't have any idea either, because they know less about all of this than you will floor them. If they say, how's the car? You say, well, I think I got a little miss in number 5. They'll be done for. They won't have the faintest idea what the hell you're talking about. And they will be so impressed. They'll say, wow, that's Susie. Does she know her car? Not only does she know the entire human body, the hip bone that connected to the thigh bone, but she knows about turbos and misses in number 5 and all. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Phew.
Okay.
And I would just throw in little stuff that you know is going to be so far beyond
and
them.
Tell them you're thinking of having a turbo installed. That'll blow them away.
Yeah. And you ask them, just turn around, do you think I can add a turbo to this? They won't have any idea. And tell them, you know, mention things like bore and stroke. Oh.
Oh, okay.
Powerful stuff. Because don't forget, all the guys that you hear talking about stuff like this, they don't know anything about what they're talking about either.
Oh, okay.
All it takes is one, however, to expose you. Remember that.
Sure, that's
so
okay.
Be careful.
The likelihood... Look, how long has it taken us? Are we exposed yet? No.
Well, just from the waist up.
Good luck, Susie.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi, who's this?
This is Andy. I'm calling from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Andy.
Heard of it.
What's going on?
I have a 91 Infiniti Q45A, and the A is being my problem, the active suspension.
Oh. You're not going to like this. Whatever it is, you're not going to like it.
Right. Oh,
but go ahead, describe the problem.
It normally works fine, but in the last 3 weeks or so, what's been happening is you'd be going down the highway. Well, actually, you turn the car on, and the car raises up off the ground about an inch. Or the tires actually stay on the ground, but the car raises up an inch.
Get out.
Yeah. Otherwise, it would be really cool, wouldn't it? Then you could just give it a shove, and you'd be there in no time.
And that's the way it's supposed to drive normally, and which it normally does. But every once in a while, the light will come on. You'll feel the car drop it back down to the parking position.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I'll pull over to the side of the road, shut it off for a minute or so, start it back up, and you'll feel the car raise up again, and I'll be on my way.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I will say one thing, that we have never worked on one of these.
Yeah, we've never even seen one.
No, we have driven one.
But we will give you the definitive answer.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, we have no idea how it works. We don't know what it is.
It's a hydraulic system, if that does
it. It's a hydraulic system. Yeah. It obviously has a pump, and it's able to change the suspension height depending on the load that you have in the car. And I believe you can also change it with buttons that you have on the dash to control what kind of a ride you get to.
Yeah, can't you put it on sport or whatever?
There's two settings. There's low, and then there's like gravel road, which raises the car even higher.
Yeah.
Right. You didn't buy this car new.
No, I bought it used.
And you didn't recognize that this was broken?
No, it didn't happen for probably 5,000 miles or so.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I drove it. It worked fine for 5,000 miles, and it's really, it doesn't happen often.
And when it doesn't work, what do you notice insofar as your ability to drive it?
It's just you feel a bump a lot harder than you would otherwise.
Feel the bumps harder. Well, first of all, I don't think anyone's going to fix it except the dealer.
Right.
Right. See, I'm a suspicious kind of guy. Mm-hmm. Now, the fact that it worked for a few thousand miles suggests to me
that someone jury-rigged
that some. Well, the thing's got a leak in it.
And someone patched it up with duct tape.
No, they just filled up the hydraulic oil, you know, and the thing is leaking out, and they put enough in there so they knew that they could relocate before you found out that. This is the reason this guy sold the car, Andy. He took it in to the dealer. And
the dealer told him, as we did when you first called, you're not going to like this.
The estimate was so bad that the service rep passed out.
Well, the 60,000-mile service had just been done, and the active suspension hydraulic fluid had been topped off. And I check it all the time, and I'm not losing anything. I have no leakage marks.
Oh, really?
Where I parked the car.
Well, then it's probably the pump.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like I said, we've never worked on one of these. We don't let these in the garage. In fact, if one of these is on the appointment sheet, I get three or four guys who put in for their vacation.
Yeah.
They don't want to work on them. So you're going to have to take it to the dealer and bite the bullet. And if you're lucky, it's something simple, but I wouldn't expect it to be.
I was thinking maybe like a relay or something. And it's
no.
Kicking off.
No. I think it could be. Sure.
No, it's not a relay. It's hydraulic.
I'm going with the relay.
With hydraulic fluid.
Andy,
yes.
Go for the relay.
All right.
A relay would be cheap.
Yeah, $29 and you're going to be back in business if you can find it. Good luck.
All right.
Let us know what it is because we like to learn, you know?
Sure.
See you later.
I'd be glad to. I'll give you guys a call back.
Thanks,
all right,
Andy.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See, this is one of those features that when you see it, you say, do I really need this? And if you had the choice of buying it, would you actually pay extra money for this?
Well, they don't give you a choice. Well, you do get a choice.
You do get a choice because you buy the A as opposed to buying the Q45. And so it sounds like, gee, what a great idea. And then it breaks.
Oh, yeah, no.
And then you realize, I never needed it in the first place. I don't know what the hell it does. And if I never had it, I would never miss it. But now it's going to cost me $3,000 to fix it.
Oh, if he's lucky, it's three.
Yeah.
Either it's going to cost him $39 or $3,000. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Melissa from Philadelphia.
Oh, not another one.
We've already had one Melissa.
Oh.
She was a previous caller.
Right.
And she was a real pain in the butt.
And we tried to get rid of her the last time, and we couldn't. So
if you notice a little edge in our responses to you, it's only because we're still suffering from the first Melissa encounter, and it has nothing personally to do with you.
Okay.
Yet.
Well, here's the situation.
Yeah.
I have a...
What do you want? Oh, I'm sorry.
I have a 1995 Hyundai Accent. It's an automatic. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And my mother drives a 94 Subaru something or another. Mm-hmm. I religiously use my overdrive button on-off 40 miles an hour.
Yeah.
She, you know, upon learning that she even had this, it didn't sufficiently motivate her to use it.
Yeah.
So my question is, what benefit am I giving my car that she's not? Or conversely, what damage is she doing by not using hers at all? That I'm not doing.
What makes you think that the damage benefit matrix should be in your favor?
Well, I don't think she suggested that.
I think so. You did suggest that.
I did suggest that.
Oh, you did.
I mean, I can seriously feel if I don't turn the button, when I brake, my car bucks a little bit. So it's important to me to use it, and I can feel you know, that there's pressure in when I don't use it correctly. I can feel the car changing.
Well, you're crazy.
We should explain to the other we should explain to our other listener that what Melissa is doing is disengaging and engaging the overdrive, and thus either making the car drive in with three gears only, or allowing it to shift into the fourth gear. I believe this thing is a four-speed automatic transmission.
You're lucky it has that.
So when you're driving around at a speed where it would ordinarily be can't decide between whether it wants to be in third or fourth gear, you force it to stay in third gear and not go any higher.
If you don't engage the button.
If you don't engage it, right.
Correct.
But when you do engage the overdrive button, and you go at the right speed, whatever it is for this car, maybe 30 miles an hour or 34 miles an hour, it'll shift to third, then up to fourth, and then if you slow down a mile an hour, it'll shift back to third, and you think that that's bad for the car. And Mom doesn't do this, and she hasn't even noticed that her car does upshift and downshift, maybe because she drives a car that shifts a lot better than yours.
Okay.
But if you think that it's doing good for your car, then you should continue to do it.
I'm going to continue to do it.
I know you are, because you sound like a very stubborn individual.
I'd like to tell you you're wrong there, but...
Yeah, no, I know. Your mother already talked to us.
Yeah, she just called a few minutes ago. No, I mean, what the overdrive... The only purpose of the overdrive is to get you into a
like
higher
a fifth gear.
Exactly, right. But in your case, it's only fourth.
Okay.
And why do you want to do that? Because you use less fuel. And that's the only thing it does.
Okay.
Because when you get into the higher speeds, it doesn't take as much energy to keep you moving.
So it's really about fuel efficiency.
So it's only about fuel efficiency. So your observation that it does something when you're slowing down below 20 miles an hour is complete nonsense, Melissa. It makes no sense, but if it makes you feel better and justifies what you've done, then you go right ahead and keep thinking it.
Thank you. I needed Tom Ray validation. Thank you so much.
I love you.
Thanks for your help.
Hey, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks a lot, Melissa.
See you, Melissa.
She's fun.
Bye-bye.
I liked Melissa, and I would have coffee with her. If she was buying, right.
Well, it's happened again. You've evaporated another hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor. Just back from the Miami-Dade Sushi Grade Tuna Filet Roomalade Minute Made Marmalade and Gatorade Promenade is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin Overa. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our ranch foreman is Hyman Old Cowhand. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Payne Diaz, and her little dog, Toto Payne Diaz. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to all his deputy assistant bums in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and remember, don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, download other migraine-inducing episodes, and check out our clothing and best-of collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com, we're here to help you clean up your driveway. Got an old car that's seen better days? Well, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program will tow it away for free and send the proceeds to the NPR station of your choice. Do it now before your local neighborhood watch group labels your car an eyesore and plants geraniums in it. Turn your car into the programs you love. Find out how at cartalk.com.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
The Walton Family Foundation, working to solve social and environmental problems to improve lives today and benefit future generations. More information at waltonfamilyfoundation.org and the National Endowment for the Arts, the federal agency that supports the arts and creativity in communities across the nation. More information is available at arts.gov. And the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, supporting an equitable recovery and the reinvention of systems to create a more just, inclusive, and resilient world. More information is at macfound.org.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though canaries volunteer for coal mine duty whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.